Turn our Bibles tonight, book of Proverbs, chapter number 19. I have always, since I've been saved, from the very beginning, so when I first got saved, got in church, I was 22 years old, and our song leader was a young man that, he was a lot younger than I am now, but he was, I think maybe in his 30s, maybe early 30s, late 20s, you know, but he was old because I was 22. But he was our song. He got saved later in life, so he didn't know a lot of songs. And so he was there about a year, and then they left and went to another ministry. And so my pastor, because I was loud, that was really the only qualification I had to be a song leader. He said, Brother Hewitt, he said, we need you to lead music. And I said, all right. You know, I got up there and I was, I always messed up songs and missed words. But I still do that. I didn't really change much. I missed, I get off tune. And Katie will look over there like, you know, it's just sometimes where I have zeal, where I lack in skill. But as I would go, I began something I didn't mean to. It just became a habit for me, and it still is a habit for me, is that I don't do things, I do things different. And often I say this, it's going to be a little different so often that a little different is normal. But that is who I am. I do things different. I don't just do things the way we've always done. And I don't intentionally want to do things different. But when the Lord directs in something, we're going to do it. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to begin normal, but then it's going to take a little bit of a twist, and you'll see what I'm going to talk about. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Okay? Let me read that again. This is the only verse we're going to look at in Proverbs tonight, so I want to just get it in our heads. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, number one, am I a what? What? Fool. Yes, am I a fool? That's the blank there. Am I a fool? You were right, Joe. She said, is that what it is? I said, I don't know yet. Am I a fool? So that's a question to ask yourself. You ever ask yourself that? Am I a fool? You shouldn't ask yourself that. But one way to really, one way in this, one of the times to find out if you're a fool is when you are offended by someone. That's the blank there. Offended. So one of the ways to find out if you're a fool is when somebody offends you, how do you respond? Can I help it if somebody's going to offend me? I can't. People are going to offend me. We're going to be offended. People are going to do stupid stuff. They're going to do mean stuff. They're going to do ignorant stuff. They're going to do things accidentally, right? They're going to say things that are hurtful, but they mean it to be funny. Does that ever happen? Like, you ever done that? You're like, ooh, man, I was just kidding. You feel like a heel, right? But when we get offended, it gives us this opportunity. So a fool, here's what a fool will do. A fool will follow the way of a fool. All right? Okay, when I'm saying that, the fool follows foolish ways. Okay, there's the way of the fool, and then there's the way of the wise. So we got the foolish and the wise. And so the fool, when a situation such as this, this offense happens to them, they are going to choose the way of a fool. Okay, the way that all the other fools go. And when we talk about a fool, we're not talking about somebody that's just foolish and like goofy. And we're not talking about that kind of fool. We're talking about the opposite of wisdom. Okay, so we either use God's way of wisdom or we use the foolish way that rejects wisdom. So when we're talking about foolish, we're talking about one that rejects wisdom. It's not just an insult. You fool. We shouldn't really call people that. I mean, it's not really, unless they're... Proverbs calls a lot of people fools. So look here. A, it is honorable. it is honorable to not suffer anyone to insult or injure you without forcing them to repent. Okay? It's not worded great, but I get the thought out what I was trying to say. And so here's what it is. It's honorable that when you are offended, when you don't, or you've been injured or hurt, whatever, that you don't force them to repent. That's an honorable thing. So this is what we're talking about here in this thing. But the foolish way says, when somebody does this thing to me, I have to get them back. I have to always let them know how much of a jerk they were. Right? That's the way of the fool. So B, the wise will not allow the passion of anger to control them. You ever gotten angry? Today, right? We're going to talk tonight about anger. Anger has a way of just infuriating us, causing us to lose our mind. Like nothing, no other emotion like anger. It has a way of just causing us to lose control. But the wise will not allow the passion of anger to control them. They're not going to do that. They see this thing coming and so the wise, number one under there, the wise will calmly, consider whether there is a reason to be angry. Okay? So the wise will consider if there's a reason to be angry. Again, verse 11. The discretion of a man, what's that next word? Deferreth his anger. Okay? Defers it. The wise will defer anger, meaning they, and what that word defer, it really just means this. It means to move slowly with it. So when we think of defer, we're saying, I'm just going to put it off in this way. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But the word defer here really means this thing of moving slowly with it. Somebody does something to you. Mean, hurtful, offensive, whatever it is, they say something. You ever had somebody just say something to you and your face starts turning red? And people know, all of a sudden, you're just... Right? And you're just like... It comes out, right? The wise person defers as it moves slowly, calmly, slowly. B, lest we have actions that will then need to be repented of, okay? So when we don't defer anger, right? When we don't move slowly and calmly with it, when somebody offends us, when we don't move that way, we are going to react with something that's going to cause us to later on need to repent of it. The worst thing, here's the worst thing, folks. Somebody does something hurtful to you. And it causes you to do something that now you're the one having to ask them to forgive you. What a ripoff. They're the ones that did it. And yet, maybe they don't feel sorry, they don't care, like whatever. And you explode and do something stupid. Say something mean, say something hurtful. And now, you're the one that's now standing in a bad place. You've got to repent of what you've done. And can I say this to you? They started it, doesn't work. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work when you're kids. It doesn't work to God. Well, God, they started it. Oh, can you imagine? God, they said it first. So, you know, and God says, oh, okay, I didn't know they said it first. That makes it okay. No, we don't let kids do that. We're not. God doesn't let us do that either. So, number two. If there is a reason to be angry, then the wise may consider, A, doest thou well to be angry? A, doest thou well to be angry. So if there's something that they've done, if there's something they've done that's worthy of being angry, and that's what the question we want to, is we need to consider, is this something worthy of being angry for? Let's think about it. Let's slowly, calmly deal with it. Folks, you know what I'm telling you is not the way of man. Amen? This is not what's natural to us. What we're talking about tonight is something that we have to do. We have to make a decision in our hearts that I'm not going to respond the way of the world. I'm going to respond the way of wisdom. I'm going to respond the way of God. I want to get this. It's honorable. It's honorable to choose God's way. The world says it's not honorable to let them get away with it. Oh, you're going to let them just... You're going to let them talk to you like that? You ever heard that being said? You're going to let them talk to you like that? The world says you've got to stand up. Don't let anybody push you down. Don't anybody. And so the world says we got to fight against that. The Spirit, the wisdom, the way of wisdom, God's way says let's move calmly with this, slowly, and let's say, is there a reason to be angry? And then. Well, here, then I'll say, yeah, they actually did this thing. And then we ask this question, doest thou well? Doest thou well to be angry? Or doest thou well to be angry to such a degree? You ever like, I mean, you don't need to acknowledge this, but it's kind of a rhetorical question. But you ever been so angry that you just blew up? I mean, you just mad and you just... And then later on you thought back, you're like, man, why was I so angry? And the other person's over there like, whoa, what? I was just joking. And you're over there, you've lost your business. Or we're over there, we lose our business. And later on you think, why were you so angry? You're like, I don't know. It wasn't that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? It kind of overtakes us a little bit. Here's what wisdom says. I'm going to take it slowly and think about, does thou do us well to be angry? And then, does thou do us well to be angry to such a degree? And there's a couple questions. So, see, it's one thing to be slow to anger and another thing altogether to pass over it. Again, verse 11. It says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Passing over a transgression. This is not the way of the fool. It is wise. It's maybe not worded. I've tried to put the words down, but I'm going to explain it. It is wise to behave towards offenders as those that need pardon for ourselves. Okay, the blank there is pardon. Listen, here's what's wise: to respond and behave toward them as somebody already I need pardon from God. So I'm gonna interact with them. I'm gonna behave with them. I'm gonna think of my position, my condition before the Lord. I need pardon. So when they've done something, I want to respond to them in that way of somebody, not somebody that's high and mighty, right? And I'm the victim, I'm the criminal. You see, not in that, but somebody that needs that in ourselves. Number two, it becomes our glory. It becomes our glory to learn meekness and lowliness from Jesus Christ. Listen, it is his glory to pass over a transgression. This is what Jesus did. He was meek when they accused him. I could have pulled out a lot of verses, and when they accused him, he stood there and he just took it, didn't. And you know, what did he say? What are the last words of Christ? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what Jesus said? You know, they don't really know what they're doing here. You ever had somebody say something really mean to you and their face looks like they didn't mean to? And you're like, well, you should have known better, right? Probably, but there's probably a lot of times we should have known better. And we behave in a way that's explosive. And when the fact is the other person is really there, and maybe some ignorance, and maybe some, you know, maybe they were mad, maybe they were upset, but certainly doesn't bring... By the way, as a child of God, we ought to try to be like Christ. It's a glory. So, not only in our praise of Him, but in our lives. We ought to receive His glory. We ought to learn His meekness and His lowliness. Not just when we praise Him and talk about Him, but how we live it out. Listen, you want to make a difference to somebody else's life. You want to be an example. You want to be a testimony. Then let's live out the way we talk about Him. Not talk about how great God is in my life, but live it out like we really... And then number three, passing over transgression. So not as not as one that requires repentance in others. Okay? So passing over transgression is this. To pass over transgression, I don't require a repentance. I don't require you to come and apologize for me to still have a friendship with you. For our relationship to be broken, it's this thing about passing over a transgression. By the way, I'm not talking about, in this thing, I don't think we're talking about great sin. I'm not talking about, well, they've sinned, I can never be around them again. Okay, well, there's a decision of righteousness and purity. But often, if we're going to be real honest about this, this is how somebody has just treated us and we feel bad about it. They said, they shouldn't have been so mean. We had it in our home church many years ago that my pastor had preached on, you know, if you're offended, you go to your brother and, you know, tell them you're offended and make it right with them. Oh, man, that went crazy in our church. It went crazy in our church. All of a sudden, everybody was offended. I had somebody every service saying, "Brother, can I come talk to you?" They bring me and say, "You know, when you said this, you offended me. When you did this, you offended me." Man, I was a mess. I thought, sorry? A lot of it I didn't even know. He said, "You know, you did it. It's okay. I just want to let you know you offended me." I said, "Well, okay, I'm sorry about that." It was all just silliness. And it went for a few weeks, and the pastor was like, "Hey, listen, let's get back to this other thing. The mature believer is not offended. It's the weak brother that's offended." They were kind of trying to do this thing of like, I'm just trying to help. And then it got to be exposed that really the weak is offended. The strong believer, the mature believer, is not offended by these things. And that's what we're talking about here. So we don't require repentance in others. And passing over a transgression is not as one that expects vengeance or retribution. We don't expect them to be avenged. We don't expect ourselves to be avenged and give that to them. Four, revengeful thoughts are the torments of our heart. Revengeful thoughts are the torments of our heart. It is what causes us to lose control over our own thinking. Revengeful thoughts to others, they need. You ever done this? They just need to know what they did was wrong. You ever felt like, I feel like that a lot. I think they just need to know. And so I kind of make it my business to go and press on them a little bit. So I want to let you, you know, I don't say I want to let you just kind of innuendo, we kind of get that there. And the whole time you're just, it's just controlling you. And your life has becomes and distraught because you're focusing on this and it controls us. B, therefore, when our neighbor has done us wrong, we do greater injustice to ourselves when we seek revenge. It's like having a bat, hitting yourself in the head, and hoping it hurts them. That's what happened. We do this injustice to ourselves by just harboring this frustration, this bitterness, and they've done this, and bam, ow. And they're over there like, "Yeah, what's up?" You know. So we end up doing a greater injustice to ourselves by choosing the way of the fool. Can I tell you, folks, this is different. This is different. What I'm saying tonight isn't just, bottom shelf Christianity. This is something we've got to realize God has a better plan. And He's got a better plan than we have and that the world has. Look at number two here. Here's what I want. I want us to look at an illustration of a fool. Let's go to the book of Jonah. So this is what we're going to do a little bit different tonight. I want to, instead of just staying into all of the proverb, I want us to look at this example of a fool here. Jonah, I'm going to assume we know the story of Jonah a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Jonah chapter 3, it's page 944 in my Bible. Doesn't help the rest of y'all, but anyway. It's one of these little ones. It's after Obadiah and before Micah. That'll help you. Okay. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Woo! What a wonderful thing as a prophet. You go into a city and you preach and you cry to that wicked city, and the whole city, the whole kingdom repents. Wow. Imagine Jeremiah doing that business there, the weeping prophet. Be like, wow, this is awesome. A whole city, a king. Listen, they turned from their wicked ways, and God seen it, and God repented, didn't bring the judgment on. They were going to destroy all of them. What a wonderful thing. So, hey, we may be familiar with the story of Jonah and how God used him to bring the message of deliverance to the Ninevites. But notice Jonah's response in light of our proverb. Verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was, what's that? Very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. Jonah's reaction to his anger when God gave him the instruction, we know that it was to what? Was to flee. Remember, he fled from the direction of the Lord. He went the opposite, he went the opposite way from God's direction. God said to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish. Listen, he said, God said, I want you to go here. And he said, as soon as God said, I want you to go here, and God said, I don't want to go there. Those people have hurt me. They've hurt my people. I do not want to, but God said, I want you to go take the gospel message to them. And he said, no, I don't want to do it. I'm going to go as far away as I can. He chose the way of the fool. He said, I'm not going to choose that way. I'm not going to do it. And so he went the opposite way from God's direction. B, his anger was not only with the Ninevite people, but also toward the Lord that may spare them. Ha, you know what he said? I don't want them to get away with what they did to our people. We as a nation, we've hated people as a nation. We hated the Japanese. We hated the Koreans. We hated the Arabs, right? We've hated the Chinese. I mean, everyone that has ever done any injustice to us, we become as a nation hateful towards them. I mean, I'm talking about putting them in prison camps, right? And the Germans, I missed the Germans. We hated the Germans, right? I mean, all these people, we've hated all these people. People that have the Vietnamese. I forgot that every war that we've ever had, they've done something to us. We're like, we hate them for years. We hate them. Good thing, which is really a bad thing, but the good thing about America is we have short memories. So we get over it until we find the new group to hate. We hated the Russians. I forgot. We never got over hating the Russians, evidently. His anger, but it wasn't just with the Ninevites. He was angry with the Lord that the Lord's going to let them get away with it. So three, now here he is, very angry that God did as he expected him to do. So, anger that is not deferred causes us to have very erratic behavior. So when we say it's not deferred, we've not taken it, we've not been calm with it, we've not taken it slowly. It causes very erratic, ridiculous, out of our mind kind of behavior. You know, you ever see somebody get angry and say something just like, you don't even make sense. What do you? And then you try to get them. What are you really angry about? They can't even tell you. You ever been like that? Yeah. I just can't even talk about it. That's all right. I can't even talk about it anymore. Yeah, because it's erratic behavior. Look at verse 3 again. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. So, being even to the point of wanting death. God, you let them get away with it. I'm angry at them. You let them get away with that. I just want to be dead. Imagine suicide being a result or a request of anger. To be so angry at somebody that you would want your own life ended. Can I say that's erratic behavior? It's ridiculous. Somebody does something to you to hurt you. So you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to finish the job. Isn't that weird? It's what anger does. This is the passion of anger, what it drives us to. So B, the Lord's question. Look at the Lord's question, verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? We heard that already, didn't we? Doest thou well to be angry? The question is this. Is this good or right for you to be angry about? Is this something that's... Is it good or is it well for you to be angry about this? The fool's answer will always be yes. Yes, it is. Right? Is this something you really should be? Yes. I mean, you don't even finish. Do you think you should really be? Yes. If this is the fool's answer, because their mind has already been mushy about it, right? They're already lost their erratic thinking. Two, the fool's anger is just foolish. I thought, what else could I put in there? No, the only thing the fool's anger is, it's foolish. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Look at verse 5 now. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow so he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Isn't that a blessing? He sat there, he's mad, very angry, wants his life to end, just so angry, makes him a little place that God said, I'm gonna try to help his grief. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to pass over it. He wants you to realize what you're getting upset about. It's not well for you. So he tries to give him a gourd to get over his grief. But watch. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm. Then, when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted. and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. God says, do you think this is something? Could you imagine God talking with you? You think you ought to be mad about this gourd that you did nothing for? It's up there and it's gone the next day. By the way, God's trying to help us to see something more than just get us through a situation. Trying to see something about in our heart. So you think this is good that you're upset, you're angry about this? Yes. Yes, I ought to be angry unto death. That's his answer. Anger has a way of making us stupid. Yeah, that's the word I want for that blank. Under A. Anger has a way of making us stupid. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perisheth in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah just ends. You ever thought about that? You've all heard preached through Jonah. And it just ends. Is it not better to pass over a transgression that we might win their soul? You're angry about a gourd that you didn't do nothing. It came up one night. It's gone the next day. It's like, what? You know what God's trying to say? This is what you're getting into is foolish. There's a whole mess of people here. When it says they didn't know their right hand from their left, it really means they didn't understand. They didn't understand the ways of God. They didn't understand that they're fools. They're foolish. Not fools in that way, but ignorant, rather. That's probably the word there. They're ignorant of the things of God. And you came and preached to them, and they've repented, and they've turned, and they've quit their wickedness. Man, this should be glorious. You're angry. And we leave Jonah right there. Last A, don't be a fool. I'm going to say this, we're done here, but I want to just say this in closing is, you know what the fool does? When they do this kind of way and they've gone down this kind of way, you know what happens to that? That's what I'm going to say to you folks, and we're going to be done. They're just done. You know, you and I could be one angry outburst away from just being done. You ever known people that just got angry at church and just they're done? I don't mean they just quit coming to church. I mean, they just quit on God. And then they just lose. They say erratic behavior. They say things that they can't get over, just like Jonah did. You say, well, I don't know, could saved people do that? Jonah was a man that feared God. He talked about to the sailors. He feared God. He said God used it. I have no reason to think that Jonah was not a man of God. And God, he had a love toward God. I think he just hated those people for what God allowed them to do. And he ends, God, can you just see God ending with him, like, don't be a fool. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you would help us with this lesson tonight. Lord, this is not something that is for some of us, it's for all of us. Lord, we all deal with this kind of behavior. We all deal with offense. You said even the New Testament, you said we're going to be offended. It's going to come. And Lord, help us to not get caught in the downward spiral of anger. But Lord, that we might put our trust in you. Lord, we might follow your ways. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.